So reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila, Chapter 13, the Advent of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're reading text 31 and 32. 32 is what's on the board. So I will first read 31. Just prior to his youthful life, he, Lord Chaitanya, began the Sankirtana movement. Day and night, he used to dance in ecstasy with his devotees. Text 32. The Sankirtan movement went on from one part of the town to another, as the Lord wandered everywhere performing kirtan. In this way, he inundated the whole world by distributing love of Godhead. So anyone have a question? Prabhupada's going to answer a question about this verse in the purport. But do any of you have a question about this verse? So Lord Chaitanya, just prior to his youthful life, was wandering through the town of Navadvip. And in that way, he inundated all the three worlds with love of God. Anyone have a question about that? He hasn't even taken sannyas yet, okay? Yes. He's only in Navadvip. No, that's the doubt. When we were at Soho the other day, reading a section from the 11th canto, and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was explaining how that section of verses is following the Vedic standard of logic, where you present a thesis, then you present the overall thesis, then you present the main idea, then you present the doubt, then you present the antithesis, and then you present the synthesis, and then you present the summary. So this is the doubt. Mahaprabhu's hasn't even taken sannyas. He hasn't traveled yet. He's just stayed in Navadvip. He's just wandering from one end of the town to another. How is it that he's spreading love of Godhead all over the world? You don't have your translator. So how do you? You're going to write for him? But then I will have to speak very, very slowly. Okay, you can do that? Okay, it's okay? It's okay? Okay. Okay. All right. So Srila Prabhupada's purport. One may raise the question, how all the three worlds became inundated with love of Krishna since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed kirtan only in the Navadvip area? So these are the kind of questions we're supposed to ask. Prabhupada said, blind following is what? What was the word he used? Purport 434, Bhagavad Gita. Blind following is? Well, I'm sure it was also sentimental, but a little stronger word. Condemned. It says, blind following is condemned. And that's in the a purport to the verse about accepting a spiritual master. So Prabhupada here is raising a doubt. To raise a doubt is the way all the shastras have been created. Someone says something, then someone has a doubt. Yes, did Arjuna have doubts? So Prabhupada here is raising this doubt. He's just traveling in Navadvip. The answer is that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jai Sri Sri Adagoku, Ananda, Sitaram Lakshman, Hanuman, Gornitai. The answer is that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. The entire cosmic manifestation results from the Lord's first setting it in motion. Similarly, since the Sankirtan movement was first set in motion 500 years ago by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire that it spread all over the universe, the Krishna consciousness movement, in continuity of that same motion, is now spreading all over the world, and in this way, it will gradually spread all over the universe. With the spread of the Krishna consciousness movement, everyone will merge in an ocean of love of Krishna. Nagare, nagare, brahme, kirtana, kariya, bashaila, tri, bhuvana, prema, bhakti, diya. The Sankirtan movement went on from one part of the town to another as the Lord wandered everywhere performing kirtan. In this way, he inundated the whole world by distributing love of God. Can you give this Prabhu the book so he can read the purport? And then give it back to me. Thank you. So very interesting. Does anybody understand what was Srila Prabhupada's answer? Can anybody explain succinctly what was Prabhupada had a very interesting answer in this purport. What was his answer? He started it. So the verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj states it as if it's already done. He said, it's already done. And Prabhupada's answer is, well, he started it. And because he started it, it's already done. That when it comes to things that are transcendental, the starting includes the completion. Isn't that interesting? Materially, it's not like that. Materially, if you half build a building, you half write a book, you know, you half cook a meal, it's not worth anything. Isn't that correct? It is not worth anything. A half-cooked meal, you know. Sometimes you get potatoes, they're half raw. You ever gotten that? You know, you get the sabji and the potatoes are half raw. Or with this haveli, if you're finished, you can give the book back. You know, with this haveli, if we just half finish it, we just have a, or fourth finish it, we just start it. You know, we have the numbers out there for the drive. How much we've collected, how much has been pledged, how much do we need? So suppose we just stop there. Would the donors be very happy? The people who've already donated, if we never complete it, they'll say, what is this? Give me my money back, yes? Okay. So with the things in this world, it's like that. But with spiritual things, it's not like that. The completion is there in the starting. Very interesting principle. We can think about a seed. When that brahmana brahmana and the cobbler asked Narada Muni, you know, when will I become liberated? And Narada Muni asking the Lord, and the Lord said, you know, the brahmana many, many lifetimes and the cobbler this lifetime. And tell them I was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. And when Narada told the brahmana that, the brahmana said, oh, you haven't seen Lord Narayan. This is, you're just making it up. Nobody puts an elephant through the eye of a needle. I'm really wishing I knew sign language. I'm sorry. But the cobbler immediately accepted. He just said, yes, that is correct. And Narada Muni says, how do you believe this? He said, well, he's putting a banyan tree. You've seen a banyan tree? Who's seen a banyan tree? Huge. One banyan tree can take up the size of this room. He's putting a banyan tree into a little seed. And as soon as you start pouring water on the seed, unless something happens to stop it, unless there's some insect or disease or something like that, you're going to get a tree, right? So we have this. This is a nice verse for our confidence. We're supposed to have enthusiasm, patience, and confidence, correct? Who says that? Rupa Goswami in the Upadeshamrita. We must have utsaha, nishtayan, daryat. One has to have enthusiasm, patience, and confidence. So sometimes we may not have such confidence. And when we start Krishna consciousness, we have false confidence. We think we are very great devotees on day two. Just a few more months and I'll be in Krishna prema. And the more, right, the more you go on, the less confidence you have. You think, well, wait a minute, you know, it's not quite like that. I have all this stuff in my heart. Huh? But once the water and sunshine is put on the seed, unless there's some insect, it's going to turn into the plant. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati talks about this. He has an essay about initiation. And he says, once a person takes initiation, he says, unless they commit some really grievous offense, they will attain perfection. With some very, very rare exceptions, they will attain perfection. Even there was one devotee who became influenced by some persons who criticized Bhaktisiddhanta. And he was also criticizing Bhaktisiddhanta. And Prabhupada was very angry and said, he will not attain prema for 10,000 births. He's become a big professor. And he still writes about Krishna consciousness, Gaudiya Vaishnava teaches about it. But Prabhupada didn't say he'll never attain prema. He just said it will take a very long time. Once the seed is there, once the water has activated the seed, once the water and sunlight has activated the seed, then it will become a plant. So this is true for our own Krishna consciousness. Mahaprabhu compares the blossoming of our Krishna, the development of our Krishna consciousness to a seed, to the bhakti lata creeper. And we all already have the seed of bhakti in our heart as a spirit soul. We must. Otherwise, how are we a person? We're a person in relationship to Krishna. But until it gets the water and the sunlight from the guru, it doesn't activate. It's not activated. So there's a very nice story about Vikeshwara Pandit and how he and the Lord were able to activate this seed of bhakti in a very offensive, impersonalistic person. So there was this great scholar in Navadvip named Devananda Pandit. And it says that he was living like a sannyasi since birth, even though he hadn't formally accepted sannyas. And it's described that he was full of all good qualities, very austere, very intelligent. And he was studying and reciting the Bhagavatam. And one day, Mahaprabhu was passing through Navadvip, as he's doing here in this verse with his devotees, and he heard some of Devananda Pandit's explanation of the Bhagavatam, and he became very angry. And he said to the other devotees, "This Devananda Pandit is an impersonalist. Although he's studying the Bhagavatam, he hasn't touched the real fruit of the Bhagavatam. He doesn't really understand the Bhagavatam." And Mahaprabhu got so angry, he was going to go in and tear up Devananda Pandit's Bhagavatam, but the devotees restrained him. Now, we come to a very interesting part of the story on many levels. So Srivas Pandit attended a Bhagavatam class of Devananda Pandit. Now, that's strange. Why would Srivas Pandit attain Devananda's Bhagavatam class? Devananda, who Mahaprabhu had condemned. Somehow he did. We don't have an explanation why did he attend. And perhaps even more surprising was that on hearing the Bhagavatam, even from Devananda, Srivas started to exhibit symptoms of ecstasy. Particularly, he started to cry, and he couldn't stop crying. So the Bhagavatam is so powerful that even though it was spoken by an impersonalist who didn't understand the meaning, Srivas Pandit was still able to get this nectar. Now, this may not happen to us because we're told that milk touched by the lips of a serpent has a poisonous effect. So we have to be very careful. If we hear Bhagavatam from some impersonalist, it may damage our understanding. That's something when I was working in the Gurukula, I didn't like to use those Krishna comic books. I mean, I remember looking through some of them and they would just say, oh, you know, Krishna is a recent god. The real god of the Vedas is Indra and Krishna is just some invented god. And as soon as I read that, I said, I don't want the children reading these comics, even though they're about Krishna. But if one's on the level of Srivas Thakur, then that's irrelevant. He is able, like the Paramahamsa, to take the milk out of a mixture of milk and water. He's able to extract gold from a filthy place. And he was in such ecstasy, hearing Devananda speak the Bhagavatam, that he was crying, and he just couldn't stop crying. So some of the, Devananda didn't say anything, but some of the listeners were disturbed. Sometimes we see this. The speaker's not disturbed. The speaker's fine. But some of the audience may be disturbed. Again, well, sometimes we see this in a Bhagavatam class. Something's happening and some of the audience are very disturbed. So the students of Devananda removed Srivas Thakur. Get out. What are you doing crying in the class, disturbing the class? And Devananda didn't stop them. He didn't say, no, don't. Don't throw him out. So he committed an offense of omission, not commission. As it's interesting that Vrindavan Das Thakur says the reason that Devananda was not able to relish the Bhagavatam was due to some offense unknown to him, known only to the Lord, that he had committed some offense. It's not clear whether that offense was this one with Srivas Thakur or something previous to this. Mahaprabhu, another time when he went past Devananda Pandit's class and then saw him on the street, he severely chastised Devananda. And he says, why are you preaching the Bhagavatam without understanding its essence? Very, very severe. And Devananda Pandit didn't have much faith in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he felt a little ashamed being corrected, as anybody would, right? If any of us, we were publicly, severely chastised by someone, we would feel a little ashamed and difficult, isn't that? But it wasn't because he had faith in the Lord and it was getting rectified by the Lord. He just felt kind of put off by it. And things went on for some time. Now, Devananda had some affection for Vikeshwara Pandit. And again, interesting that Srivas Thakur went to Devananda's class, but Vikeshwara Pandit went to Devananda's home. Devananda was, I really like you, my dear sir, my dear Pandit. You please come stay in my home. So Vikeshwara Pandit stayed in the home of Devananda. And Devananda felt such affection for Vikeshwara that he was doing all kinds of service for him. He was even taking the dust from Vikeshwara Pandit's feet and smearing it all over his body. Somehow, although he didn't have faith in Srivas Thakur and although he didn't have faith in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, somehow he had faith in Vikeshwara Pandit. And of course, he wasn't an ordinary person having taken birth in Navadvipa and having the Lord personally speak to him. I mean, if Lord Chaitanya personally spoke to me, even to yell at me, you know, that would be pretty amazing, right? In fact, when I have a good friend in the Hare Krishna movement who had a dream once that Govardhan came and yelled at him. And I said, wasn't that awful? He said, no, it was my great benediction that Govardhan even noticed me to yell at me. So he was serving Vikeshwara Pandit. Now, Vikeshwara Pandit had a very interesting service. Just like here, we're reading about how Lord Chaitanya was dancing in the village, right? He was dancing throughout the village. So Vikeshwara Pandit was also a dancer. And I was wondering today during the kirtan right before class if maybe Vikeshwara Pandit had come to our kirtan and was dancing. So he would dance in so much ecstasy. One time he didn't stop dancing for 72 hours. Now, I know my daughter's a Bharatanatyam teacher, and her teacher's daughter once got in the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest Bharatanatyam dancing. But it wasn't because she was in ecstasy. You know, it was all very staged. You know, you dance for a certain amount of time, then the Guinness Book, they allow a certain amount of rest time. Right? And she went on also for several days like that, dancing. So Vikeshwara Pandit wasn't like that. It wasn't like some stage orchestrated thing. Okay, I'm going to dance for a few minutes, and I'm going to drink some water, then I'm going to dance. No, he just kept dancing for 72 hours. How many days is that? That's a long time. And Lord Chaitanya was so happy. Vikeshwara Pandit then said to him, please, Mahaprabhu, give me 10,000 Gandharvas to sing while I dance. And Mahaprabhu's response is, well, I could be a Gandharva if I had another dancer like you. He said, a dancer like you gives me one wing. If I had another one, I could have another wing, and then I could fly in the sky and sing for you. And this was their very sweet exchange. So Vikeshwara Pandit loved to dance. He was often dancing in the Rath Yatra. Wouldn't that be nice to see Vikeshwara Pandit dance? What do you think? Would that be nice? So Devananda also appreciated Vikeshwara's dancing. And when Vikeshwara was dancing, he was very unaware. I mean, if you're dancing for 72 hours, you must be very unaware of what's going on. You're just absorbed in your internal meditation. And so he wasn't taking care of his surroundings. As such, what happened also when Mahaprabhu danced. We know Mother Sachi, who would attend the dancing at Srivas Thakur's house, Srivas Angam. She would say, you know, I don't want to know when Nimai falls to the ground in ecstasy. He said, otherwise, when he falls to the ground, I feel pain. Oh, my Nimai has fallen to the ground. So Devananda was protecting Vikeshwara. When he would dance out among other devotees, Devananda was keeping the other devotees away from bumping into Vikeshwara and disturbing him. So he was feeding him, and he was arranging for all of his needs. He was protecting him while he was dancing. And Vikeshwara took the opportunity to speak to Devananda about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because of his faith in Vikeshwara, Devananda gained faith in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he went to see Lord Chaitanya, and he said, my dear Mahaprabhu, I have been an offender. I don't understand the real meaning of the Bhagavatam. Then he was able to take the chastisement that Lord Chaitanya had previously given him. And Lord Chaitanya said, you have attained this realization because of your association with Vikeshwara Pandit. He said, any place associated with Vikeshwara Pandit contains all the holy places and is as good as Vaikuntha. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also explained all of the Bhagavatam to him, and Devananda Pandit became a great Vaishnava who eventually did taste Krishna Prema. So there was a little seed. It got a, even though he was offensive to Srivas Thakur, imagine offensive to Srivas Thakur, but still, little touch with Lord Chaitanya, little touch with Vikeshwara Pandit. And this seed sprouted, and even though he was an offender, and even though he was an impersonalist, it sprouted. It fructified. So therefore, the ending is in the beginning. I mean, unless you let a mad elephant loose in your garden and destroy your little plant. So we should be confident that the ending is there in the beginning, that if we've begun, we will be successful. How quickly, that is up to us. You know? How quickly, how easily, that is up to us. But it is there. And the same is true with spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. Now, what did Prabhupada say in this purport? Did any of you find something that Prabhupada said in this purport rather astonishing? It was a very short purport. It was only one paragraph. Yes? It's going to spread all over the universe. Well, that's here. We have Tri Bhuvana. Tri means three, the three worlds. It didn't just say the one world. That itself is a little difficult. You know, Lord Chaitanya is just a Navadvipa. How is it going to spread in this one world? It said it's going to spread all over the three worlds. How is it going to spread all over the three worlds? Actually, it's interesting. Lord Chaitanya said to Devananda, the universe is satisfied by remembering Vikeshwara Pandit. He said, the demigods and the demons and the higher planets, they are all amazed by his dancing. So there was some involvement of the universe, even in Mahaprabhu's time in Navadvipa. In fact, we know that when Mahaprabhu appeared as Nimai Pandit, that the demigods came to see him, right? You all know that? They disguised themselves to look like brahmanas of the village. It looked like they were Brahmin ladies coming to see Sachimata, but actually they were demigoddesses. So the universe was involved even then. But Prabhupada's main explanation for how it's going to spread all over the universe is that we're going to do that. Now, I have some questions about that. Exactly how are we going to do that? Are we going to go in spaceships? Are we going to develop mystic power and go there in our subtle bodies? I mean, how exactly are we going to do that? One of my god sisters told me she had a dream that she was on a different planet with Srila Prabhupada. She had been instrumental in starting the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, and she dreamt that she was with Prabhupada on another planet opening another Krishna Balaram temple. Yeah. And I know at least one instance where Prabhupada told a devotee, he said, in your next life, you're going to go preach this Sankirtan movement in the lower planets. I don't know if any of us would like getting that instruction. Huh? And there are many devotees who have this mood. Well, I want to, in my next life, I want to follow Srila Prabhupada as he travels throughout the universe spreading the Sankirtan movement. So how exactly it's going to be done, I don't know. You know. But it seems like it's not going to have something just to do with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but also with Srila Prabhupada. So that's rather interesting. I mean, I don't get to sit in on the council of the generals of the Sankirtan army, you know. When Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have their meetings, their planning meetings, they don't invite me in. So I don't know what the exactly what the universal plan is. But it's certainly quite interesting. And if you think about even on this planet, how Mahaprabhu's movement has spread on this planet. I mean, I know I go to very little villages and very little towns, obscure places, And there's often somebody there chanting Hare Krishna. It's quite interesting. You know, some of these are people who lived in ISKCON temples, and for one reason or another, they moved away. Maybe they had work, or maybe they were angry at ISKCON management. And we might think, oh, it's so terrible, they write. But then they went to some little place somewhere and started chanting Hare Krishna. I was thinking, you know, Lord Chaitanya even uses that to spread his movement. I don't want to be in his temple anymore. I'm going to move far away as I possibly can. And then you go someplace where no devotees have ever been, because it's as far away as you could get from an ISKCON temple. And then you start missing Krishna consciousness and you start chanting Hare Krishna there. And pretty soon you're starting a little center in that far away place. So Krishna tricks people even in their anger, right? To go spread Krishna consciousness to every town and village. I find it quite humorous. And it's very interesting, or through book distribution. You know, one of the ways we distribute books to countries where it's illegal to preach Krishna consciousness is we go to where there are tourists from that country. I don't know if I should say this anyway. You know, we have books printed in these languages, right, like Korean. You know, you're not going to go to North Korea and preach Krishna consciousness unless you're extremely courageous or extremely foolish. But you can have books in Korean, and you can go to places where Korean tourists come. And then they bring the books back into their country. We brought books into the former Soviet Union by somehow or other. Our books got stolen at the book fair by somebody. Stole our books. Hare Krishna. That way we got the books into the country. And people will get a book, right? There's stories of people in the former Soviet Union who got a book. And just from reading that one book, they started being vegetarian and offering their food and having deities. They didn't even know, you know, how do you have deity worship? So they were not doing it in a very regular way. The devotees would meet them sometimes 10 years later and come to their home. And, well, that's not quite how you do deity worship. But just from reading Srila Prabhupada's books, they were chanting Hare Krishna, following the principles, in some far-off place. You know, I mean, I've really just been astounded sometimes at how you'll find some group of people chanting Hare Krishna, reading Prabhupada's books. And now, of course, with the internet, and, you know, I'm sure there's so many people, right, who are tuned into this class. Some of them are in other parts of the world. Some of them may never have been to a Hare Krishna temple. You know, I remember the first time I went to Australia and someone came up to me and said, Ormila, I've been listening to your classes for years. And it was sort of shocking. You know, here's someone I've never met in a country I've never been. And this is what's happening all over the world and in many different ways. Prasadam, you know, we have many devotees who have different prasadam businesses. In the Czech Republic, there's an amazing prasadam business. And that prasadam is going out to all the shops. You know, people they don't know it's prasadam. They're taking it home and they're eating the prasadam. So it is spreading all over the world. I mean, sometimes we may look at the world and see how Kali Yuga is advancing and people are becoming more and more sinful and more degraded. And that's true. That really is true. But at the same time, we see another tendency in the world, don't we? We see there's an interest in yoga, there's an interest in kirtan, there's an interest in vegetarianism, there's some interest in spirituality, which, very frankly, was not there when I was a little child. It just wasn't there. And that's swelling, and it's coming because, frankly, of Srila Prabhupada. I mean, even people who don't know that it's because of Srila Prabhupada, you can trace it back and you'll find that it's because of Srila Prabhupada sending us out all over the world, Prabhupada would say like an army, right? Distributing books, distributing prasadam, distributing the holy name, preaching according to our various capacities. So we may not see right now that this whole planet is inundated, what to speak of Mars and Jupiter and Alpha Centauri, you know. But the fruit is there in the seed. The ultimate plant is there in the seed. So one other thing I'd like to say about Vikeshwar Pandit is how many of you attended our seminars on Manashiksha or any of them? Okay. So it's very interesting. Manashiksha is a manual written by Raghunath Das Goswami as to how to attain spontaneous love for Krishna. So there's another manual about how to attain spontaneous love for Krishna written by Dhanachandra Goswami. Dhanachandra Goswami was a disciple of Gopal Guru, and Gopal Guru was a disciple of Vikeshwar Pandit. So Swarup Damodar Goswami, one of the most intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, said to be the incarnation of Lalita, was specifically entrusted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with giving the system for Raghunuga Sadhana. Sadhana is a practice. It's a system. So we have the Sadhana Bhakti, which means bhakti in practice, has two main divisions, Vaidhi Sadhana and Raga Sadhana. So Vaidhi Sadhana is you're doing the practice of bhakti, you're practicing bhakti according to the rules out of primarily intellectual conviction. And Raga Sadhana is your practice, you're still practicing bhakti. You're not perfect in bhakti. But you're practicing bhakti according to your natural attachment. Some natural attachment has awakened in some specific rasa, maybe at a very immature state, but it has awakened and one is practicing in a different mood. We can think of this even in terms of material things. So, you know, my mother made me take piano lessons, but it was always Vaidhi Sadhana. There was never any raga in that sadhana. You know, I didn't enjoy it. I didn't relish it. I never connected with the piano. You understand? It was always just... it was always mechanical. I never made that jump. Or like as I was saying, my daughter's a Bharatanatyam teacher, and she was saying to me, you know, you can tell when the students aren't just focusing on the steps. You know, the beginning students, their focus is on, okay, do I do this or this? And sometimes you see them looking, because part of Bharatanatyam is the eye movements. But sometimes instead of using the eye movements as part of the dance, they're looking at the other student. What step am I? And they're trying to remember their steps. But more advanced, they're still practicing, but more advanced, is the steps have become more or less automatic. And what they're practicing now, they're still practicing, but what they're practicing now is the emotion. That what is the story that I'm telling? You know, this dance is telling a story of Ram running Sita or something like that. And they're trying to evoke the emotion, you know, or in a drama. So I had the great fortune of being in one drama by Bhakti Marg Swami of Judd Bharat. And a little while after that, I was in a drama at the Govardhan Retreat of the Snake Doctor. So when you're in a drama, first you're concentrating just on memorizing your lines, what you're supposed to do, what you're supposed to say. For the Snake Doctor, we had 4 days only. And everyone else had been in the drama before. I was the only new member. So I was the only one who had to learn everything, and I had one of the dominant parts in the play, Hare Krishna. So, you know, first you're just memorizing your lines. You're going over them again and again and again. You're just trying to remember the words, and you're trying to remember where you move on stage. Yes? How many of you have been in a drama ever in your life? Okay. So, and that may take some time, and it's a little stilted, and you're not even trying to do it with so much emotion, a little bit. You know, you're putting a little emotion into it. Now and then you get a little spark of emotion. But mostly it's just the rule. And at a certain point, the emotion comes. You start feeling what the character's emotions are, yes? You start getting some sense. You start identifying with that character and imbibing the mood of that character. And you're still practicing, right? And the director may say, no, you don't want to be angry at this point, you want to be surprised. So the director is no longer saying, oh, you got the wrong line, or you miss your line. They're starting to work with you on the feeling. So that is the main difference between Vaidhi Sadhana and Rag Sadhana. And essentially you can say that externally it's not very different. But the system that Swarup Damodar Goswami taught to Vikeshwara Pandit has different externals than Vaidhi Sadhana. The system he taught to Raghunath Das Goswami does not have different externals than Vaidhi Sadhana. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Jivadharma characterized these as the inner and the outer path. The inner and the outer path. He said Swarup Damodar taught the inner path to Raghunath Das Goswami. So Raghunath Das Goswami in his Manashiksha, he's not describing different external behaviors of one in Rag Sadhana as opposed to one in Vaidhi Sadhana. He's saying what's changing is your internal mood. Now, of course, when you change your internal mood, that gets exhibited to some extent externally, right? If you're doing a drama, once you imbibe the mood of the character, you will say your lines and do your movements in a little different way, yes? But it's not grossly perceivable. It's a subtle thing. The really good actors and actresses, it's a subtle thing that you get so drawn into the drama because they're into the drama. But they're doing the same lines and movements, huh? But in the system taught to Vakeshwara Pandit, the outer path, he was teaching different external behaviors. Now, these are within the realm of Vaidhi Sadhana, but they're very specific to Rag Sadhana, and they really wouldn't be done by somebody in Vaidhi Sadhana. So these were put into written form. I find it interesting. Raghunath Das Goswami, Vakeshwara Pandit, were each taught. It was Raghunath Das Goswami who put the inner path that he learned from Swarup Damodar immediately into a written form with Manashiksha. Vakeshwara Pandit did not write it down. It was written down by his grand disciple, Dhanachandra Goswami. And he made this book, Agor Govindarchana Smarana Padati. It's a much, much, much longer book than Manashiksha. And it starts off with meditation on Guru, then on each of the Panchatattva, then on each of the Goswamis, then Radha and Krishna, I believe I'm getting right, I'm not sure. And then each of the Astasakis, then each of the Astamanjaris, meditation on one's own spiritual form. And he'll give a mantra, and then what you should meditate on while you're chanting that mantra. He does that for the Hare Krishna mantra also. You know, mantras for each of these persons, and then specific, what are you supposed to meditate on? And what kind of worship are you supposed to do? So anyone following the path given by Vakeshwara Pandit would be doing external behaviors that would mark them as being on that path. You'd be able to say, oh, I can see you're following the external path given by Vakeshwara Pandit as explained by Dhanachandra Goswami in his Gaur Govindan Archana Smarana Padati. But someone following the prescriptions of Raghunath Das Goswami in Manashiksha would not be obvious. So if anybody here was following Manashiksha, you wouldn't be able to pick them out. Oh, yeah, you're doing that, or you're doing that. Because it's internal. So both of these paths are bona fide. They're coming from Swarup Damodar Goswami, is given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They can also be combined. I had as one devotee who wrote a book, he said, you cannot combine the paths, but that's patently absurd. Of course, you can combine external behaviors with internal emotions. I mean, it's not even logical. But what started to happen, because the external path that was given to Vakeshwara Pandit is externally discernible, it's also externally imitatable. Now, it's not so easy to imitate it. I mean, you'd have to spend, in addition to your regular sadhana, about 4 hours a day saying all these mantras and doing all these rituals. So it's not that anybody would be able to imitate that long term. But it still could be imitated. I mean, you can't really imitate the inner path because there's nothing external to imitate. Do you follow what I'm saying? I mean, you could lie and you could say, yes, I am now perfectly humble. You know, but that's a little funny, isn't it? You follow? Does everybody follow that? Yes, I'm now drinking the shining nectar of love. I mean, you could just say that and lie if you weren't. But that's different from imitation. So people started to imitate Vakeshwara Pandit's system, the external path of Rag Sadhana. And they started to fool people by this imitation. They also tried to cheapen the process. You know, again, because it's something that involves a lot of externally noticeable behaviors. They were able to say, okay, we'll just let anybody do it. The external path is supposed to be given by a guru who sees that you're qualified and so forth. So gurus just started giving it to everybody, you know, just for some money. And they started also changing and twisting some of the practices. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, on seeing that the external path had been imitated and changed and perverted, he favored the inner path. So Swami Bhakti Siddhanta's movement, and of course in A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, they're not taking much from the path of Keshwar Pandit. They're taking from Raghunath Das Goswami. You really won't see very much. Bhakti Siddhanta personally in his life, he did spend extended time in bhajan. And he did pull in his own personal life a few things from the path of Keshwar Pandit, but primarily from Raghunath Das Goswami. Bhaktivinoda Thakur seems much more to have combined them. And the problem that arose is that there were people who thought that Vikeshwar Pandit's path was the only path. Well, because it was more obvious. You follow? So people, if they're in Rag Sadhana, that's what they're doing. And if they're not doing that, they're not in Rag Sadhana. Because the inner path is, it's esoteric. So they criticize Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati. You're not teaching Rag Sadhana. You're only teaching Vaidhi Sadhana. But none of your followers are doing the everything in Dhanachandra Goswami's Gaur Govinda Archana Smarana Padati. Without doing that, how are you in Rag Sadhana? You're just all going to go to Vaikuntha. And this criticism came down into our ISKCON also, and we've had many people who said, oh, I have to find some Babaji at Radhakund. And that's what they'll get trained in. They get trained in Vikeshwar Pandit system. Oh, I had to go there because in ISKCON we're not teaching Gaur Govinda Archana Smarana Padati. So it behooves us to understand something of the history of our Sampradaya, to understand how the teachings have come down. And another little note that we may make in this connection is that within a bona fide system of bhakti, there are going to be differences. And just like Srila Prabhupada said, the GBC should come together every year and discuss unity in diversity. Some differences may be very small. Some differences may apparently be very large. But just because there are differences doesn't necessarily mean that one is bona fide and one is bogus. It might mean that, but it doesn't automatically mean that. Because one person is protecting cows and another person is preaching in the city doesn't mean one person is bogus and the other person is bona fide. It's just not like that. If you're going to go to ISKCON Soho and say, what's the matter with you guys? Don't you believe in Varnashram? Where's your cows? We had it in one city temple in America. Tell President, I wish I was making this up, but we had a Tel President who wanted to import cows from India to a very cold climate in America, very northern part of America. And he wanted us to keep them right in the middle of a city, which, of course, is against the law. You can't usually keep cows right in the middle of a city. And he wanted us to take them for walks like dogs up and down the street. You know, and, Hare Krishna. So there's a wide range of ways in which we're spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. Some people are inspired to spread the Krishna consciousness movement by gorgeously decorating the deity. Some by taking care of the cows. Some by going on Harinam in the middle of the biggest city. Some by distributing books in English. Some by translating Prabhupada's books into all the languages of the world and getting them out to all the different places of the world. Some by going into businesses and schools and presenting Krishna consciousness as the way to solve all the problems of the world. Some by being married, some by being renounced. There's so many different ways, some through prasadam. You know, I think about how in London there's Govinda's downstairs, and upstairs there's the free lunch program, right? At the same time. And down the street there's food for all. But the people eating at Govinda's, if you said to them, you know, you can come upstairs and it's free. But they want to pay for it. Do you understand? They want to sit at the table with their shoes on, paying for what they're eating. They don't want to go upstairs and take off their shoes and eat it for free, even if it's the same food. So there's different ways of preaching Krishna consciousness. There's different perspectives. And as long as they're all within the Siddhanta, we don't have to make everybody but ourselves wrong. Atmavan manyate jagat. That's not necessary. It's not necessary. It's not necessarily to say the way my guru is preaching Krishna consciousness is the only way and every other guru is in Maya. Yeah. There have always been a little bit different flavors and a little bit because we're different. We are each individuals. So if we're going to spread Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if we're going to spread Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement all over this planet, and maybe some of us will join up for the universal Sankirtan party, recruit, you know, who wants to join the interplanetary preaching program? Not just buses and vans, huh? Spaceships. And then we have to have also some broad-mindedness. Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is not narrow or stereotyped. So we should have this confidence that as we've started the process, if we continue, we will achieve everything that we desire. And as Mahaprabhu has started this from Navadvip, it will indeed spread all over the universe. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Vikeshwara Pandit ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premananda. So questions, comments, corrections, additions, subtractions.